Visit us online at www.thehype873.com.
And that is right. It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are back live. We've been going all day right here at the Hype 87.3 in ATL. And I've got somebody that is not new to me, but they are true to me. Shout out to Rhyme Schemes checking in. What's going on with you, family? How you doing?
What up? What up?
Man.
I'm feeling blessed, man.
Love it. I love it. Listen, I always love doing this with you because you're just one of those artists that always is upbeat. You got positive energy, positive vibes. We need more artists like you in the world. I'm just going to leave that right there.
Yeah. I mean, my that's my personality. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I had a bad day, you won't even know it.
Man, I love that. I love that. Absolutely. Well, listen, give us that official introduction.
Yeah, this is Rhyme Schemes. I can't say I'm a hip-hop artist no more. I'm more like an Afro-fusion artist.
Yeah.
You know, from Detroit, Michigan. Been out in Cali for about 15 years. So I guess I can rep Cali and Michigan at the same time. And man, just out here grinding.
Yes.
Doing my thing in all capacity.
You are definitely doing your thing, man. I'm proud of you because I've known you for, gosh, many years now. We've been working together, and I've just continuously watched you elevate and go up. I know you've recently done some big things, which we're going to get into and talk about, but I just want to say, bro, I'm super proud of you of everything that you got going on.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know how we do. We put our head down and we just work.
Yeah.
And, you know. We don't even notice the results because we just work.
Facts. Absolutely. And we get so caught up in doing what we love and what our passion is that oftentimes we just have blinders to the outside world because we're just so focused, you know, and that can be a good thing because there's some ugly stuff out there in the world, right?
That's a fact. Hell yeah.
Definitely. So for people, you know, I know we've definitely had many conversations with each other, but so I want to briefly touch on a few things, you know, in case anybody is new to Rhyme Schemes. I really want them to understand, you know, your journey. You know, take us back into your childhood. What was it like for you growing up in your city?
Oh, man. You know, a lot of us kind of have that story, you know, like when we say the rags to riches, or we had a tough life and then we're making music to kind of express what we went through.
Yeah.
I mean, but mine is a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I lost both my parents when I was young and, you know, I lived in the streets and the hood and everything like that. But other things like that, you know, life was pretty good. You know, it's like a regular kid growing up, you know, loving sports, loving music, you know, and just try to just explore the world, you know. I kind of created that, you create like that little bubble with inside of your world where you actually create your own world. So it's like you can escape that what's going on around you. Overall, it was pretty good, you know. Family was supportive, family orientated. Got a chance to travel the world a lot as a kid. And so I think, you know, growing up was pretty good.
Definitely. What were you into as a child? You know, we're going to get into this. I see you running a lot, like you out there doing marathons and, you know, just doing your thing. Was that something that you were into, like, you know, running track in school or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I wanted to be everything. I wanted to be Bruce Lee. I wanted to be a ninja. I used to do back flips off of the gate, running up walls. You know, I played every sport you can think of, baseball, soccer, basketball. Definitely in track, I was like the fastest person in my neighborhood.
Man.
I definitely went into that. I was an all-state track runner. I did all the sports and got a scholarship to college to run track and all that before I even got into music.
Man.
So that's crazy. That journey was a total different journey, and music came later on in life.
Yeah. I think that is really, really dope. You was out there dusting them, huh?
Yeah, I thought I was, yeah, you know. So I started racing them, like, you know, Southern boys and quarters and Georgia and all them.
Right. Some of them country bunkers, boy, they have some wheels on them, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you, them dudes in Texas and Florida and all of them, yeah. So when I started going, like, I went to the Junior Olympics, I thought I was faster, boys, it's faster.
Definitely. But listen, being around people like that will make you want to step it up and, you know, figure out how to get faster.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and competition is always in it because we all good at something.
Yeah.
But there's always somebody better than us at something. So
absolutely.
When you have something to aspire to, yeah. So I definitely agree with that. Find a way to get better, or you get a reality check. You ain't all that.
So let me ask you this: being We'll talk about running, because I know that's something you still actively do. And, you know, I love watching, you know, all the medals and the ribbons and stuff that you be getting. Like, you really out here doing your thing. For someone who is, you know, into as an athlete, whether they're running track or doing marathons, and they're trying to work on their endurance and pick up their speed, what do they need to do? They need to work out a little harder? Like, what advice would you give someone who's trying to get a little faster?
You know, I would say, so it's two things. I would say they, you know, it starts with their diet and being consistent.
Yeah.
You know, the term, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
That's true. That's true within the same thing of running. You know, like, it takes time to get, especially when you're dealing with distance running. You got, you know, people who can be fast, they're talented and naturally gifted. Mm-hmm. They fast. They need training to get faster, but naturally they're pretty quick from God-given talent.
Yes.
So that's a different type of mindset you got to have when you're doing, like, marathons and half marathons. You have to kind of think long-term and not just, I'm fast, I can beat everybody to the finish line.
Right.
So that's kind of the advice I say, you know, make sure they focus on their diet, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you would think, like, eating some chips, you know, I work out every day, I eat a bag of chips, it ain't going to affect me. That bag of chips can be the difference between you running a certain time and not running a certain time. And it's weird, but that's true.
Absolutely. Like the old saying, we are what we eat. And that's the biggest facts ever. You know, like, that's going back to seeing people that they have a Diet Coke, but they have a candy bar in their hand. It's like, why are you drinking that Diet Coke? And you got a candy bar that's got 8,000 grams of sugar in it, right? It don't make no sense.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's your diet, and you got to stay consistent, because that means you can't go overnight, you know, running 3 miles in 28 minutes to drop to running it in 16 minutes the next year. You got to take time and patience and training and just dedicate yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, as people get a little older, you know, things change in our lives. You know, I know I'm in my 40s now, so it's like, I definitely know I don't have the agility that I had 20 something years ago. I possibly could get it back, but I'd have to work harder because, you know, our bodies change, our metabolism change. Back then I feel like I could eat anything I want. Now, if I just look at something, I gain a pound. It's like, what's going on? You know, like, I don't make no sense. Yeah. It don't make definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. So how long have you been, you know, professional? If I guess this makes sense, professionally running, maybe like doing marathons and stuff. How long has that been?
So, you know, what's funny is, like, so I, you know, I ran in high school, ran in college and everything like that. I went to the Junior Olympics. I was trying to actually go to the Olympics. This is weird. Most people don't even know this. In 2000, I was trying to go to the Olympics. I ended up suffering an injury, so it kind of stopped my Olympic dream. And then after that, you know, life hits you. I had a kid and all this stuff, and life hits you. So then, like, what's crazy is when I caught COVID about 3 years ago, that was kind of my wake-up call to make sure I get my health. So I started running again just to kind of build my health back up, my endurance and stuff like that from being sick. And from there, I just kept training, running through mountains. And before you know it, I was like, let me start competing. And, you know, I pretty much did one race. And after that, I'm on race number, 60 within like a year and a half.
What?
And, yeah, race number 60.
Wow. Yo, that's insane. Like, hey, are you ever like Forrest Gump? You just kept running.
Oh, let me tell you, I'm about to be 44. Most people don't think I'm my age, but I'm about to be 44. And I'll be out there giving it to these youngsters, these college runners, these high school runners that actually in shape and they're young. I'll be giving it to them. Like,
man, you definitely giving them a run for their money. I love it. I love it. That is so dope. And I love the fact that you've like really stuck with it over the years. You know, like you probably took a little bit of a break, you know, here and there, but now you are like all in. Let's talk about that. As of lately, you said in the last, year or year and a half, you've done 60 races?
Yeah, the year and a half. So I would say about a year and a half. So my first run was October 2022.
Yeah.
And then I did, you know, then I, you know, I competed a lot like all through 2023 and we just in the beginning of 2024. So yeah, I would say if we combine the time, about a year and a half, and I did about 60 races, you know, I won probably like 80 medals, trophies. Like, I mean, I've ran some crazy times, like considering like my age and considering like, the type of, and I live in California, you know, these people out here are fit. And so like, I'm not running against like those soccer moms or some dude that's like, you know, eating candy bars and drinking beer. I'm running against real athletes. And I'm telling you, California, these people are all in shape. It's like, you got to step your game or you get embarrassed.
Definitely.
And I've been grinding, yeah.
That is amazing. Like, what's the longest distance you've ever ran?
So, I've done half marathons, which is like 13.1 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done multiple half marathons, you know, 10Ks, which is like 6.2 miles, and a bunch of 5Ks, which is 3.1 miles. But I'm actually doing my first marathon. LA Marathon is this weekend. So, I'll be out there doing the LA Marathon this weekend on Sunday, and it's like one of the biggest events out here, so I'm ready to do that.
How long
have you? 26.2 miles.
I got tired just hearing you say that. How long have you been prepping for this?
Oh, I've been training like crazy, like, because what happened, I never stopped training, so what I did, I got a training plan that I do. So I incorporate my short distance training. It's like to help me out with the marathon. So I've been training a marathon. To do the full marathon, I've been pushing since January, trying to build that endurance up for the full marathon.
Yeah.
But half marathons and 5Ks, 10Ks, I can do that based on my natural ability, my natural endurance of being in shape.
Yeah.
But the marathon, yeah, I don't recommend doing it if you ain't ready.
Man, I would just come be a spectator and watch on the sideline and hand you some water.
Oh, yeah. I need all the help I can get.
How long do you anticipate that it's going to take you to do 26.2 miles?
I would say, to be fair, because, you know, I did half marathons. My best time is around an hour and 30 minutes for a half marathon.
Wow.
So I'm not saying I'm going to finish the full in 3 hours. I would say maybe under 4 hours, because, you know, you got a wall that you hit after a certain mile and you start getting tired. Like, after running 13 miles, you're like, okay, all you got to do is run another 13 miles.
Sheesh.
But no, it's not as simple as you think. You
know,
not as simple as you think. Yeah. So I had to slow down a bit. I can't go out like I do in a half marathon. I'm going to have to slow down a bit. So I anticipate under 4 hours for sure.
That's still a great time. Like, 26 miles is a long distance when you're not in a car, when you're on foot. That is a long, long, long distance. So, you know, if you're able to nail it in 4 hours, or shoot, I would say even 5 hours, that's a great amount of time to get that done. What is the significance of them doing 26.2 miles rather than 26 miles? Is there a significance for that?
I believe it's based on, so like, cause we live in US, so we go off the metric system of like mileage or whatever.
Yes.
But the rest of the world go off kilometers.
Kilometers. Yeah.
So yeah. So pretty much is equivalent to like the kilometers. So they add the 0.2 to make it fit the kilometers. Like a 5K is like 3.1 miles. You know, it's really like, but we'll say 3.1 miles, but it's really 5 kilometers and 3.1 miles. So pretty much, that's why we say 26.2, because it's like, it makes the kilometers fit.
Yes. That is, I always wondered that, and I never had anybody to ask. So, okay, that makes sense. So when is this one taking place, the full marathon?
Oh, it's actually this Sunday in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, so. We'll see.
Is it going to be broadcast anywhere?
You know, actually, it may be on TV here locally. I know, because marathon is 42 kilometers.
Yeah.
So, which is 26 miles.
Yes.
So, if you're driving in Canada, you see the sign that says kilometer, or Mexico, you see kilometers, and you're like, oh, you look at your car, you're like, oh, okay, that's the mile mark. That's where I'm at. So, it would be broadcast, I think, but I probably won't be on it. It'll probably be like some guy from Kenya, Ethiopia, who's in the league that probably put on TV, who's running in like 2 hours or whatever like that. You won't see me. You won't even see me.
Hey, but listen, as long as you finish that, or just even the fact that you got yourself out there to do it is an accomplishment, really. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, including myself, would be intimidated by that because I'm just like, man, you know, that would take a lot of preparation, not only physically, but I would believe mentally as well.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, it takes more. It's more mental than physical.
Definitely,
your body gonna break down by the 8 miles. So man, everything else got to be straight up hard.
Let me ask you this: how have you been able to keep your like knees and your feet and your joints intact? Because like my knees hurt just thinking about running 26 miles.
Oh man, you know, I every morning I get up and I torture myself and I work out, but I'm usually like, I can't even make it down the stairs in the morning time. When I wake up, I'm like, I'm so sore. I'm like, I'm leaning against the wall, coming downstairs to get my coffee and everything, and then get ready to go run. And then eventually I get warm, you know, once I get warmed up, you know, it's all good. I start going, but I'm hurt. It's tough. It's tough. And, I mean, I try to do some recovery, you know, like cryotherapy, yeah, like the cold ice machines, yeah, and all that type of stuff. And like, the compression and stuff like that to kind of help recover, and sleep is very important.
Yes.
And hot baths and all that. So I try to do that to recover. I mean, it helps that I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And I don't eat a lot of junk food. So that kind of helps with your recovery too.
Definitely.
But you know, these still 44-year-old bones out here.
Yes. Crazy. Cause like, you know, I remember 20 years ago, nothing hurt. Now I wake up and sometimes it's like random, like one knee might hurt or it might be the left foot. I'm like, where is this coming from? I didn't even do anything. You know, it's like, I guess, man, it's just our bodies start to break down as we age. So, but I definitely commend you for being out there doing it. And, you know, definitely good luck on this marathon. Like I'm excited for you. What does your diet look like?
Oh, you know, it's crazy because like I'm not like a nutritionist, but like I fast 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I have a window. I eat between 8 hours, you know, intermittent fasting, and shoot, mostly it's vegetables and protein. You know, vegetables and protein, not a lot of carbohydrates, but I do have to, like, when I'm have a big race, I do have to like incorporate some carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So like I might eat like some spaghetti or something like that, like a day or so before the car load or something like that. But it has to be carbohydrates that's like, you know, healthy carbohydrates. You can't just go do a bunch of crazy crap. I'm about to eat a whole thing of this because it got carbs in it. I mean, eat a whole big old loaf of bread because it got carbohydrates in it. It got to be some stuff that's like that you can actually process and kind of break down that convert into energy.
Yes.
Like, you know, pasta's a good one, and like potatoes, like maybe some like, what you call that, sweet potatoes, all those type of things that are like, that break down easy to give you energy, but like not like, you know, a bunch of crap.
Right, exactly. Stuff that's going to give you energy but not weigh you down and make you feel sluggish, because, you know, that's what the processed sugars do. They might give you a quick little rush, but then as soon as you know, you heard about them sugar crashes, you get tired. You're ready for a nap. So definitely, yeah, fueling your body with the right things is super important.
Yeah, the guy who won the, what you call that, won the Berlin Marathon, he said he ate oatmeal before he broke the world record. So I don't know. I don't know if that's something to recommend somebody eating oatmeal, but that's what he said he did when he broke the world record.
That might put somebody in the bathroom. You know it's full of fiber, right?
Yeah,
like, hold on, I got a boo-boo real quick. That is funny, most definitely. Have you ever put your body into autophagy before?
No. Well, what is that exactly?
Autophagy, it's like a form of fasting, but you actually, 24 to 48 hours of not eating, your body goes, what's into autophagy. My dad does it from time to time. You know, he's older, and I've never tried it because I don't know if I could go more than 24 hours. I know I could mentally, but, you know, it'd be tough.
Oh, like a ketosis or whatever.
Yeah. You actually just, it's the significance, it can take 2 to 4 days of fasting. But they say that what happens is when you're in autophagy, your glucose and your insulin levels drop. So it's like really good for people who maybe have, you know, health issues and stuff, because a lot of people, they eat, like, you know, I intermittent fast like you do. And that's a beautiful thing because it allows our body to kind of reset all our blood levels. Well, autophagy even takes it like a step further. So yeah, maybe look into it. I don't know if it's something you would be interested in trying.
I have done that before. Yeah, I have done it before. I have done like 72 hours and
wow. Wow.
You don't even think, you don't even want to eat.
Yeah.
It's like to the point where you get used to it, and you just, it's like you don't even want to eat.
Listen.
Like you're not even
thinking about it. I agree. Yeah. Like today I went the entire day without eating, and I was working in my studio, and I didn't get home until like 4. By the time I got home, I wasn't even hungry. I was like, I'm not even hungry now, because I hadn't eaten since like 6 o'clock the day before. It had been almost 24 hours and I didn't even realize it had been that long. And I was like, man, I'm not even hungry now. So yeah, definitely.
You crossed the dark side already.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know that you were recently on the cover of Street Motivation Magazine. Tell us about that and congratulations as well.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it's been a long time coming. I've been knowing Street Motivation for years. And they to give you a little background, they work with everybody. Snoop Dogg, the East Side is Corrupt. Like,
nice.
They have some heavy hitters on the cover of their magazine. That's actually support the magazine. So locally, homegrown in Cali. And, you know, they really make some moves other than just, you know, printing magazines. They actually put on events and stuff like that. So for us, Felicity, it was a good look for me to be there. You know, the opportunity presented itself. It was perfect timing too, because like a brand name, a clothing brand was actually looking for like a rapper to like model their clothing to advertise their clothes.
Yeah.
And I just happened to do the photo shoot. I was chosen to do that. So I actually did the photo shoot.
Mm.
So those photos actually came out pretty good.
Yes.
And the opportunity presented itself to be on the cover. So we linked those two things together and that's kind of how we made it happen.
That is dope. Talk to us about the brand, because I did notice like on the photos you sent me some really dope photos that you were representing a particular brand. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a new company called Dangster, and they're a cannabis line.
Okay, okay.
And so they needed someone to actually advertise and bring the brand to life. So, and they picked me, and you know, got some pretty nice outfits. So, you know, we put it together to kind of get the advertising and kind of show, like, I mean, introduce that brand to a different type of artist. You
yes.
know, you know, you got artists who use cannabis and they look like they use cannabis or whatever they use. They look, you know, they don't have that clean image where they actually can actually sell the brand to a whole different market. They only can sell it to people who look like them. So I think that was a perfect combination for them to pick somebody who don't look like they smoked out to advertise that brand.
Right.
To reach a whole different demographic.
Absolutely, because you look at someone like yourself and you look polished and put together and you look athletic because you take care of yourself. So, you know, that's, you definitely are a good representation. Are they going to perhaps make you like a brand ambassador?
Yeah, that's what we're working on. Yeah, we definitely are going to be doing more photo shoots and advertising more clothing. But yeah, so now I'm pretty much just on the branding side as far as like the clothing.
So yeah.
I'm not actually got anything to do with the cannabis. I'm not,
yeah.
You ain't gonna catch me holding the cannabis, but you're gonna start advertising the branding side to kind of like as a representation of the brand.
Yeah, most definitely. Now that is really, really dope. And they're based in your area?
Yeah, they're a California brand.
Okay. So people can tap in, you know, and like, so you are wearing one of their shirts on the front of the magazine?
Yeah, actually, it was called Inclusionist. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of their shirts that I was actually wearing. So
okay.
It was one that was like Dangster, and it was like Inclusionist. And it was so crazy because then we just took the photographer, let me just do what I want to do. The photographer's like, this pose, and he was just taking pictures. And that's what I like about photographers, that let you just be you.
Yes.
Because it was intense, it was cool, and I was just pretty much just like GQing it. And, and that's kind of how we came up with the cover photo and everything, and
yeah,
we're rocking their brand.
Definitely
rocking their brand, and that's how it works.
Yeah, when you can be yourself like that, I think it comes out more like authentic and more organic, and you fit, you can see it like in your posture that you look comfortable in those photos.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you thinking about?
It was fun. So
you thinking about a modeling career?
You know what? That's what I'm trying to do. You know, when they did the write up in the magazine, they listed me as a model. I'm like, oh, God, boy, I guess I got a new calling.
No, I think that would be a good calling for you because you got the look. You know what I'm saying? You take care of yourself. You did well in them photos. Like, you looked very natural. Like, that was something that you could do. So, shoot, you never know. That could be your next calling.
You see, I'm over here rapping, modeling, running, jumping out of airplanes. Like, what else does it mean? Crazy, right?
Right, absolutely. Gracing the covers of magazines. You're doing it all. You a whole model. That's dope, man. No, I love it. Jumping over to the music side, because, you know, I know definitely you got a long journey in music. You know, how long have you professionally been, like, writing and recording music?
Oh man, I don't even, you know, to be honest with you, when I think of professional, like, I mean, I can say my first project when I really feel like I knew what I was doing when I released Rhymageddon, which back in 2018, you know, I started off doing the music probably in 2009, but like, I think I was just making songs and learning how the music industry worked and how to actually become an artist. So it took time to actually know what I'm actually doing.
Yeah.
Because you got to understand the music, the melody, and all that. It's not just rapping. You got to understand what you're doing, because your voice is an instrument. So I figured, like, 2018, that's when I figured out how to actually professionally become an artist. And I think from there, I analyzed, took feedback, you know, from everybody, good or bad, and just found a way to, like, create a new sound for myself. So I think right now, like, I'm at a point now where I know what I'm doing for sure.
Yes.
But I think that the tip of it was 2018 when I actually figured like I was professional.
Got you. And I feel like now you've really found what sound not only do you enjoy, but it complements you. Like you said, the Afrofusion, like that is absolutely, I feel like you could do any kind of music, but that's your it factor, if that makes sense.
You know, it's natural. You know, yeah. It feels natural. Yeah.
Definitely. Are you open to, you know, tapping into other genres of music? I mean, I know you've probably done a couple, but, you know, like anything off the wall, like country or any type of pop or anything like that?
I would do it all.
Yeah.
Like, I would, you know, because it's about being like open-minded and creative and just proving to yourself you can do it.
Right.
You know, like running a marathon, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's going to be tough. You know, it's something different, a challenge. You just do it and then you got something to talk about after that.
So. Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, somebody send me a country beat, you know, I get on there like Lil Nas X or somebody and beat.
Do your thing.
Man, I'll figure out something, you know, because he pulled it off big time with that Billy Ray Cyrus and all that.
Man, did he ever, and now he's completely went left field with everything.
Yeah, I think he should have stayed in that country lane, because he probably lost all these little country fans, and that's a big market.
A huge market. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I always like to ask that, because, you know, it's a big world out there and, you know, not everybody listens to the same type of music. So it's like, if you're open to tapping into other genres, now you're broadening your fan base and your audience, your listening base.
Yeah. Cause if I would have stuck to the same rhyme scheme from back in the day and all I did was, you know, use songs with like 90s, you know, 90s gangster rappers and talking about, you know, doing this, man, I'll be stuck in the same spot. I mean, doing this type of music and took me around the world, you know, performing and stuff like that, and opened up doors and made me, you know, my presentation be less threatening, opposed to, you know, because I'm only a gangster, I'm only going to appeal to like people who like the gangster stuff. But now, right. I can add a little bit of Detroit and some of this Afro or this Caribbean music, and, you know, boom, I still can be me, but I can actually get in other doors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, getting into like, you know, Afro beats and like different types of, you know, Caribbean music and stuff like that, it's just feel good music. You know, I think that you can capture like a broad audience. We're talking black, white, probably Asian, old, young, a little bit of everybody, because it's just feel good music. It's not derogatory. It's just fun, feel good, family friendly type music for the most part.
Yeah, that's real. And the thing about it is, I mean, at the end of the day, because it's who I am today, too. When I'm talking about now, it's what I do now. You yeah. know, I can't be, I haven't lived in the hood probably in like, let's be real, probably like 25 years or something like that. So I don't even, you know, I ain't even my life, but I can tell you about what, you know, I'm over in like France somewhere and I'm partying or something like that, or I'm here, I can talk about that, or if you liked a girl or you did this or whatever, I can talk about stuff that I actually live and see.
Yeah,
you know, but I can't be like talking about what's going on in the hood, because I ain't been there in a while.
Right.
I mean, I respect it, I love it, you know, that's where we come from, but at the end of the day, I can't even relate. I don't even live in that tax bracket, so
I love that you keeping it true to yourself, though, because a lot of these artists do not. They talk about stuff that they don't have or never experienced, or, you know, and it's like a lot of times what I'm finding with a lot of these younger artists, they're glorifying the wrong things.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't be talking about like I did this, I did that. I'm over here doing homework with my daughter.
Being a whole dad. Yeah.
We doing homework and jumping on trampolines. Like if you try to harm that vision, then I might have to go back to that.
Nah, but, facts.
Know, I'm protecting.
right.
You try to stop that, then, you know, we might have a different conversation.
Absolutely, you're her protector. You're her first love. You're her first love. I can say that. You know me. I'm still a girl dad. I'm still my dad's little girl, and he was my first love. Every little girl, their first love is their dad for sure.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Definitely. Out of, you know, like just taking a look at your music career as a whole, like kind of stepping back and just looking at it, what makes you happy about what you're doing in music?
You know, taking a risk. I mean, number one thing is I'm happy for taking a risk because, like, you know, it's very difficult for artists. This applies to all artists. And I know some people, you know, we got this exterior of being like cocky or being overconfident or just full of ourselves. But like, I think the toughest part is being able to let your music go out to the world and not care about what nobody thinks. You know, just go out there and let it be. And it's like, I'm an artist. If you like it, you like it. And just be, that's the first part. Because I know a lot of artists who make music. I remember back in the day, I'd be in the studio and dudes be like, yeah, man, listen to this song. And like, I wasn't even an artist and I was just there supporting them. Listen to this. I said, why don't you put that out? And they was like, oh, I ain't ready yet. And they just found every excuse to keep the music in the studio because they so insecure about themselves, about letting the world hear it.
Right.
And what I like about these artists today, these younger artists, that they don't care. They'll go in the studio and like at 5 o'clock, don't have no pen, no paper, their homeboy make the beat. They go spit that stuff, punch in, punch out, put that shit on Worldstar, you know, at 7 o'clock and boom, and go viral. That's what they do. Like, and they don't care.
That's
what
facts.
They do. They're relentless.
Yes, absolutely. It's ironic because I interviewed a young guy from Tennessee earlier today at the radio station, and I've asked him how many songs he's put out, and he said he's got over 100 songs on the digital platform. So I was like, yo, I wasn't expecting that many. Like you said, they be recording them and putting them out there, because really, like, we're in the era where artists can do that now because they can distribute their own music and throw it out there, and eventually something's going to stick.
Yeah, be putting it in front of the right people.
Right, absolutely. You got to have that good marketing, that good promo, you know, like, yeah, you don't want to put out that many songs and not actually promote any of them, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to let the world know because, you know, really, like, social media is a bittersweet. Let me ask you this. If social media didn't exist, take it out the picture, and you had to go back, or not even go back, but just social media never existed, and distributing music into, you know, the Walmarts and the Best Buys and getting out in the streets, would you still want to do music if social media didn't exist?
I think so, because that's the only world I know.
Yeah.
You know, that's the world. That's the first world I knew. You know, like where we pass out CDs at outside of a party, or you know, we walk down like Venice Beach and we passing out CDs to everybody who passed by, or you know, you got to go rap in front of Jay-Z outside of like the Rockefeller Station. You know, but that's the world I know. You know, what I'm saying? So social media made it easy for somebody like me because we know another world. Like, all I got to do is put a thing up and send it out.
Right.
Like, I don't have to go through it. I don't have to worry about sending all these CDs and all and write them black marker on the damn CD and say, you know, contact number is this.
Let me get a Sharpie real quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the world I know. I mean, so I like that grind. I might be on a plane. I'll be talking to anybody. I'll be going to Germany. I got a new song. I got a new CD. Check this out. Giving people like blank CDs. Like, they can be like old ladies, whoever. Like, I'll be giving them.
You put it in. I promise you'll love it. Yeah. Nah, I'm with you. I miss that era because I feel like, and I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me on this, the having social media is a bittersweet. On the sweet side, it's like you said, like we can now target the entire world from the comfort of our home, which is a beautiful thing. But I think on the bitter side is everybody thinks they can do it now because it's easy to reach the whole world. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody thinks they can spend $50 a year and distribute all this music and they're a superstar. So it's, yeah, it's a bittersweet, right?
Yeah. Cause there's no, it's what you call that. There's no entry level where you can actually be like, all right, I earned my spot to be this professional.
Yes.
You know, like, I miss some days where it's like everybody couldn't do it. You had to be really good and you had to earn your spot. You had to prove yourself. Like, absolutely, you know, dudes probably like you had to freestyle and beat 40 dudes in a freestyle. Like you Biggie on Fulton Street somewhere and you had, and the Biggie earned his spot. Cause you know, Biggie was the dopest dude in the neighborhood.
Right.
And he got with the right person who, you know, who was able to get it out there. But now it's like you and 10 of your other friends can like just go do music. And it's not like, not the best of the best go out. So that's the only thing, part I kind of miss. I kind of miss like the best with the best, and everybody can do it now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like that in today's era of music, 2024, that we're lacking artist development?
I think so, because even like a song can blow up because of social media.
Yes.
Like a song can just blow up because social media, and you can go out and they're not even ready to be an artist yet.
Right.
Like you catching some young kid who just made a song in his room off Pro Tools and a laptop and just went viral and now he's famous.
Yes.
And he don't even know, like, don't even, first of all, half of them don't even know the business.
Right.
So it's kind of scary that can happen to somebody, such a young person, because it's good that they're making money, or they could make money, but it's so much money they could be making if they actually had it as a monetizable business,
right,
before they actually did that. So they needed that artist development to actually know how to be artists, artistry, understand the business side or how contracts work, and how when you get this money and you get this hit, how can we monetize this hit to keep it going, turn it to a career, not just one hit and you made this much money and that's it.
Right.
Like that's what's needed.
Absolutely, because it's really almost shocking how many times I'll ask an artist, like, for example, who is their publishing with? And they look at me like I got three heads. They don't even know what that is. And I'm like, ASCAP, BMI? They're like, no, I don't have any of that, you know? And it's like,
they're leaving so much money on the table.
Right. They don't have their sound exchange, no song trust. And like you said, they're leaving a lot of money on the table. And I think that a lot of that went out the window because of social media, because back in the day, the labels would develop an artist. They would package them up and develop them. Now they want them to come already developed because they feel like they blow up on social media and they're supposed to already be, like, you know, popular and famous. So I think a lot of that is kind of the label situation, or there needs to be more, you know, maybe companies out there that offer like some sort of artist development program that's going to teach these artists the fundamentals and the basics. What did you do personally? How did Rhyme Schemes learn the business?
You know, failing. You know, I didn't know what was going on, and I just was out here just like free falling. Every time I fail, I learn lessons from my failures.
Yeah.
You know, and I start watching people like yourself. I met people like you along the way who, you know, like, you may not know you was giving out game, but you was giving out game inadvertently, and people watch you and stuff like that. And you're like, I learned that from this person, learned this. And you kind of create your whole little game plan about everything you learned along the way. So I would fail, like, you know, I would think, like, it's a slot machine.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm about to be on this mixtape, Coast to Coast mixtape, hope this mixtape. They say I paid $400, I go to this mixtape. E-40's on the cover of it. My song on there might blow, because everybody wants to see E-40, like, nope, $400 is out the window. Like,
facts.
It's gone.
Like, E-40 probably didn't even know that mixtape existed.
Oh, my God. Right? You know, stuff like that. You learn that itch. And then you, like, you know, you see that, you're like, that don't work. And then you say, okay, well, how come I think I'm hot. How come I'm not famous? I'm not blowing up. You got to figure out, like, oh, it's marketing. And you got to know the right marketing. You got to know your package. Got to be right. Because you think you only see you, but, like, you got to stick out amongst 8,000 other million people out there. And then you got to be packing. It's so much, man. I had to learn.
Man, that is absolute facts. It's trial and error. And I think that you really have to be passionate about this in order to stick with it. Because, you know, there's a lot of trials and tribulations. I hear about artists getting scammed all the time. They sent somebody some money and then they got blocked. And they, you know, like, I hear about that. And I feel like you have to be super passionate to push through that. What is one of the biggest things that you've personally encountered in this business, whether you got scammed by somebody or like a big obstacle you had to overcome to maybe, you know, put some of these younger artists on games to be on the lookout for?
Man, like, if anything's too good to be true, like, you need to, like, second guess it. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, like, these dudes been hit you up in your inbox. Hey, bro, I like your music. You know, I'm Nipsey Hussle's DJ. You know, give me $500. I'll push it off to the DJ. Like, is that easy? So you really think my music's that good? How many messages did you send to these people? Like, you know, like, those type of scammers, like, or dudes that be like, oh, I'm going to put you on a Spotify playlist and get you 100,000 streams. You're like, oh, 100,000 streams. And you start doing the math like, oh, Nipsey Hussle said that if you get this many streams, you get $10,000 and blah, 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 blah. And you end up sending some scammer in India's fucking $400 to get you 100,000 streams thinking you're going to make like 5,000, you know, whatever. And then, boom, all of a sudden you lose your money and your account get banned.
Yes.
That's the type of crap.
Yes, that part. I was just about to say, not only do you lose money, but your whole Spotify account gets taken down because they sent you a bunch of fake streams. And that's what I try to explain to artists. If there's a company that guarantees you a certain number of streams, it's fake. Because you can't predict that. You cannot predict how many streams someone's going to get on these playlists and stuff. If they say, yeah, I guarantee you're going to get 5,000 streams, stay away from stuff like that, because I don't think there is any guarantee of exactly how many streams you can get.
No, because, you know, I run ads on platforms like,
yes,
on YouTube ads, like Instagram ads, but I got to the point now where my ads are so like tailored to my audience. Now I know my audience that, like, I already know I can get a million impressions for like under $100,
yeah,
like $50, probably a million, because I know my audience. I know who's gonna react to my stuff when I put it up. So I'm gonna get, but it took me time and trial and error to figure out, like, when I got a new product or a new song to put in front of my audience,
yes,
I'm gonna do that. So I figured it out, but that's the only way it's going to work. It's going to take time and it's going to blow up over time, or it's going to get whatever level, how much money you got or how much your strategy is. The more money you got and the more you know what you're doing, the further you can take it and you might get a bigger return.
100%.
But, you know, it ain't no overnight.
Definitely.
No overnight.
Definitely. I've been doing this for 13 years and I feel like I'm not anywhere near where I want to be. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. It just, like you said, it takes time. Like, we have to be patient. This is not an impatient man or woman's business, for show. If you impatient, this is the wrong business for you.
Yeah, man. You can get like 2 degrees and get a whole career while you wait to blow up.
Right. Nah, for real. That's funny. That's so funny because it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. How many unreleased songs do you have in the vault, if you had to take a guess?
Oh, man. Like, I want to put everything out, but I got too much on already. I probably got 100 or so, you know, probably somewhere sitting there that no one ever even heard.
Wow.
Probably over 100 that I haven't even. But then again, a lot of them songs I can't put out anyway, because at least they go on some unreleased lost tapes, because, like, I'm not even that person anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, so I don't know, but I got some stuff I haven't put out yet, or features I haven't even completed yet.
Yeah.
You know, because you get a little bit of buzz in certain markets. You know, everybody want to do a feature and this and that. I got songs that people send me from like Colombia. Hey, bro, rap on this song. And I go, all right, I got you. And then 6 months go by, I haven't even sent them a feature. And so, like, we've caught them songs. I probably got hundreds of them. I'm waiting to send back.
Definitely, definitely. Do you find yourself, you know, writing and recording sometimes just because it's like a mental therapy or an outlet for you?
You know, what's funny is like, I take my time now, like, yeah, like Dr. Dre. Like, I'll make up songs and just record it on my phone as I'm driving to the gym or something like that. Then it never come out. So then I might be sitting around bored one day and I might go back and listen to the record, then I make the song.
Mm.
You know, I feel like when there's no pressure, or, you know what I mean? Because a lot of us, this is a mistake I used to make earlier on. I used to be like making projects. I'm like, oh, you know, I got to hurry up and do this. I got to do this. I got to hurry up and put this song out. I got to hurry up and record it. I got to do this. Let me hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Let's put it out. And it's like, but nobody wasn't even waiting for this stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? So why am I even, like,
yo,
stressing out to put stuff out, right? And nobody even checking for me. Like,
that is so funny, because I've said that about a few artists that I'll see posted, like, yeah, I got to hurry up and get this project out. But nobody's waiting for it. Oh, that is funny.
I had to learn that. Like, you know, like, so I can take my time. If I need to take 6 months to do one song, let me take 6 months to do one song. And then when I put it out, it's right and everything is right. And once I get that one shot of the public to listen to it, they like it, it goes.
Absolutely.
That's kind of how I got to approach it, because nobody waiting on me.
Yeah, you have to take the pressure off yourself. I think that just comes as being a human being, period. You know, people who are serious about their craft and what they got going on, oftentimes we are very hard on ourselves and we overthink situations and we, you know, just really, like you said, try to put that pressure and I got to do it right now. No, like, take your time with it, because I feel like if you put too much pressure, you're going to fall out of love with the journey, and you don't never want to do that. You want to always love every step of your journey. Throughout your journey in music, or, you know, whether you're modeling, which is that's your next career right there, and we're manifesting it.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. We might have to do that, yeah. I'm like Gucci Man, right? I got cloned, right? I came back.
Nah, for real. Goo up. That is so funny. What would you say is the biggest misconception about rhyme schemes?
I guess most people used to think that, like, rappers, I used to, because, you know, I work in the corporate world.
Yeah.
You know, my day job. And I think I used to be afraid to let people know I did music. Like, I just felt like it was a stigma associated with being a rapper or whatever, or being Ryan Skinny. Now it's to the point where, like, I'm like an executive level at my employment. And it's so funny because every time people are like, hey, did you know that he's this and that? And they're like my spokesperson. So I got all these people who are like VPs and everything telling everybody that he does music. So I got all these people. And I'm just like, oh, you know. So I think the misconception was, I guess my misconception, my looking glass stuff, I thought that being an artist had a negative connotation behind it, because it was more like, you know, gangsters and disrespecting women and all that. When they hear the music, like, oh, this is cool. You sound like Will Smith. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll take it.
Oh, good old Will Smith. That is hilarious. But no, you
sound like LL.
Right. Oh, I'm bad. That is funny. But no, you're absolutely right. We think that certain positions we're in, that it does kind of have that stigma against it, but really, like, yeah, there might be a few people out there who are not for it, but I think the majority of them are, especially when they see that, you know, it's not affecting your day-to-day life. You know, you're not out here doing weird stuff. You're not out here shooting and killing people and putting it in your music. Like, you're a stand-up guy. You're a father. You're a family man. You know, you're about your business. You get up and go to work every day. So, yeah, I think that for someone like you, you can share that with the world and the people, your coworkers, and they're going to love that about you.
Yeah, and that was a perfect, that was the area I was trying to get to, where it was, the music is good enough for everyone to listen to.
Yes.
Like, you know, because I know earlier on I was saying some stuff that I wouldn't share with them, you know. You know, before I was cussing and N-word this and that. But then it's like, nah, I don't even cuss no more. We listen, I don't cuss another few songs. Like, I ain't talking none of that. So it's like, I think I got to the point where it was, I mean, also maturity comes with that. Yes. You're living a different life. But I got to a point now where I'm comfortable with sharing my music with anybody. I'll share it with the president, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and it's not, you can see the skill set is there. It's not like I don't have to be only talking about hood stuff in order to show them my skill set.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the skill set is there still in my way or my subject matter.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because, you know, listening to your music, like you said, the skill set's there. There's still substance there. But you do it in a clean manner. And I feel like that right there, like, the music that you're putting out could set a huge example for these youngins that they don't have to always curse. And I'm not saying you ain't got to curse, you know, like, in none of your songs. You know, every now and again you have a turn up song, but you can put out a hit record and it be completely clean. You have a hit record called Body. That's a hit record that I really feel like that's going to be heard by the entire world, and it's a clean record.
Yeah, it's a clean record. Yeah, nothing. You know, I tell my daughter this. I got my younger daughter. I tell her, I say, hey, she's like, people curse at school. I say, well, you know, there's so many more words in the dictionary you can use, but you ain't got a curse. You can describe any curse word that they say, you can describe that with another word in the dictionary.
Man.
So, you know, and so that's kind of my challenge to everybody. You know, you can find another. It'd be fun with the words. Be fun with it. Be creative with this language that we speak. You know, find a way to be creative. You know, because we a lot more. If you're an artist and you're making music, you got the talent to rhyme words. You got the talent to put interchange that with other words and not use cuss words.
Yes.
And the hood will still respect you. I mean, your dudes, if you who you are, who you say you are, the hood gonna still respect you. They know you, but they're just seeing you with this talent that you're able to use the human vernacular in a way where you don't have to use cuss words, but you still represent where you're from.
Absolutely. So. That is a great point right there. I love what you just said. Like, there's literally, for every profanity out there, there's a clean word, an alternate word that you can use. And I feel like, in my opinion, what makes someone a really dope lyricist, a dope artist, is when they can pull them big words out the dictionary and out their vocabulary and not have to use, because, you know, to say the F word, anybody can say that, you know what I'm saying? But like, come up with an alternative to that. And people are like, oh, he did that. Okay. You know? So I think that is dope. Let's talk a little bit more in depth about this record, Body. Like, you know, it is such a great record. Like I told you, it first came out, I added it to my workout playlist, and it is still on my workout playlist. So I work out 3 days a week. I listen to the record 3 days a week. When you get that plaque, I need a plaque. You know what I'm saying? We running them streets.
I know, right?
Up.
I got you. Oh, I got you for sure. Yeah.
This is such a great record. Yeah. Tell us about it. I mean, I know about it, but for the people who are not familiar with this record, man, it's just such a phenomenal record. Tell everybody a little bit about the record called Body.
Yeah, so Body, Future Madu from East Africa, produced by Boba Made It. Like, he's pretty much my main producer from East Africa. Where we got tons of songs together. Both of them I got songs with. And it's a dance vibe. It's a dance vibe. It has like a mixture of Kizomba, Calypso type music with Afro beats. So it's a real fusion. And I think I dropped this thing about it almost close to a year ago. And I'm still pushing it. You know, I'm still pushing it. I got a lot of faith in the song. A lot of compliments, a lot of love. It's growing. And like we mentioned earlier in the interview, consistency, you know, when it talks about running and stuff like that, being consistent.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you got one and you're on the right path, you got to keep pushing it. And body, I mean, it's, I guess it's my baby. It's my track. And so definitely it's on all streaming platforms. Got promo videos out there. I haven't shot an official video yet because, you know, I'm waiting for the fans to say they want an official video.
Yeah.
And so once we have the song big enough, I definitely want to have a video to display.
Definitely.
What's really going on. But yeah,
Where are you going to film that video at?
Oh, man. Like, I kind of want to go back to Spain and do it, to be honest.
Ooh-wee, yeah.
That's why I actually wrote the song in Spain, in Mallorca. So I definitely want to go back, and I want to, like, maybe kind of make some, like, a correlation between where I wrote it at and film it there.
Yes, that would be fire, because I think that would probably give you the most motivation, because like you said, you wrote it there, so taking it back to where you caught that vibe there, for whatever reason you caught that vibe there to write the record in Spain. So hey, if you can get back out there, and it'd be dope if your feature could get out there as well, and you guys, man, make a phenomenal music video.
Yeah, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, leaving the club, I just performed at the club. It was so fun. I just performed at a club, Times Square in Mallorca, and I perform, and then, you know, the club's closed like at 5 a.m. over there, and I'm like, I wasn't tired yet. I was walking down the street, and I'm just making up the lyrics. I got my ear pods in, because I'm still amped from, like, the show I did and everything, and I'm just walking, and then, boom, all of a sudden, the lyrics start coming up. By the time I got back to my hotel room, I already had the song.
Man. Now, did you, the artist, is it Mado? Is that how you say his name? Mado?
Oh, yeah. Madu, yeah.
Madu. Did you know him before you wrote that record?
Oh, yeah. Madu and I, we did, like, probably, like, 6 records together before we actually did Body.
Yeah.
We met earlier on. I was on a feature on a song for DJ 7, who's a a DJ out in Tanzania, East Africa. And so my dude was actually on the hook of this song I did for DJ Seven's album. So it was like a compilation of like several artists on that track called Mamilo.
Okay.
And that's when I met my dude.
Mm.
So then my dude reached out to me and asked me to do a track with him, which was called Katika, which means whining in Swahili. And so I got on the track Katika. And from there, we just been making records, you know, from like Showtime, you know, to Maneno, which means words in Swahili. You know, we did so many other tracks. Go Down Low, we did that one together.
Yes, yes, which is another hit record.
Yeah. Yeah, and then now we have Body, you know, and it's crazy how like him and Bubba took my idea and made it crazy. Like it was crazy how Bubba made it, was able to produce that track and add those sounds in there, man. And he's an amazing producer, and like that's definitely all artists listening. Rock with Bubba made it out there in East Africa.
Absolutely. Have you other records that you've recorded on produced by him?
Yeah, he did Go Down Low.
He did, okay.
Maneno, he did Showtime. He did Katika.
Got a whole catalog with him.
Oh, yeah. And I'm probably missing some, too. Like, I got to look at my Apple Music. Like, I'm probably missing a few that I got when Bubba made it.
Yeah, he is definitely a phenomenal producer, because I've heard a couple of them tracks, and man, like, you guys really complement each other. Like, it's a nice trio between you, the feature, and Bubba on the production. Bubba made it. Like, you guys really make, you have chemistry with each other. You can tell for sure.
Yeah, and also I want to give one shout out to another artist I did a track with. Y'all checking out my Instagram. I got a song with Bonnie. We have did a track called Feel Free. It's a Swahili English mix. That's actually out right now. We shot the video. So the video is out right now too. So definitely check out Feel Free.
Oh.
You know, I'm actually on a private plane, whatever like that. You know how it is. And
that's fire.
You know, it's kinda like I'm flying to Africa, you know, on a private plane, and you know, like I'm doing a Feel Free. So we did a collaboration like that. So that's definitely another ballad that I got out right now along with Body.
I love it. You are absolutely on your grind. Let me ask you this, because you do a lot. You know, of course, you're, like I said, you're a family man. You work full time. You run these marathons. You model. You record music. What does work-life balance look like for Rhyme Schemes?
You know, it's organization. You know what I mean? I got everything scheduled. If you notice, my phone has, like, I got schedules and plans. I got notes written down. So you know, as long as your stuff is organized, I make it happen. Like, I can still do the same thing everybody else do. I just gotta just schedule the time. And that's kind of how I organize it, the music. Nobody's up at 4 a.m. So if I'm running at 4 a.m., I got that out of the way. Check.
Yeah.
You know, you got work during the day. You got homework after the day. You got music after the day. So as long as it's organized. as long as it's organized, I got it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you have to have the organization and kind of like, you know, have almost like a blueprint for your day. Like you said, okay, from this time to this time, I'm at the J-O-B. Then this time to this time, I'm helping my baby with some homework. And, you know, yeah, you got to just kind of carve out a little bit of time for everything. And I think it probably takes a little time to find that balance. But once you do, you get in a rhythm of it for sure.
Yeah, 24 hours. We all got the same 24 hours. You know, somebody out here probably outworking me right now. So I might have to step my game up.
Right, you know? Right. That's how I be feeling. Like my OG, my business partner, he's 62, OG Bigger Ranking. And like, he has more energy than me. I'm like, how? It's like, I don't get it. But you know, hey, like you said, there's people always out here that's going to be working a little harder. But those are the people that keep us motivated. They keep us in check.
For sure.
Definitely.
Sure.
So let's get into this record, this hit record called Body. Before we do that, tell everybody, you know, all the social platforms you're on that they can keep up with you, and your website as well.
Yeah, definitely. Rhyme Schemes, R-E-I-M-E-S-C-H-E-M-E-S on all platforms. And on Rhyme Schemes Biz, you know what I'm saying, .com. It's this actual website. So definitely check me out on all that. And we out here, man.
Working.
Sure.
On the grind, man. I know you've definitely mentioned a few people throughout our conversation. Is there anybody in particular that you want to show some love to, shout out to?
Yeah, man. I'm giving a shout out to Tampa Mystic.
Hey, definitely for sure. Yeah. My dog.
Yeah, you know, and everybody been supporting, you know, both our journey, you know, support my journey. And, you know, definitely we grinding, you know. I mean, if I know I've been knowing you at least a decade, so definitely salute to you. We got to give you your flowers. Sure.
That's facts. And I'm so grateful, you know, like I said earlier on, and I meant what I said, like, you know, working with artists like you is honestly like a breath of fresh air, because there's some artists out here who just, ooh, they just work my last little nerve. You know what I'm saying? So you deserve your flowers as well. You know, you've always been on the up and up. You've always been professional about your business. So shout out to you, man. Shout out to yourself for being such a hardworking man out here doing your thing.
Big up myself. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Anything else that the world needs to know about Rhyme Schemes before we check out this record?
Oh man, definitely get that body track and you know, holler at me if y'all want to get into some fitness marathon running. You know, I'm definitely down to train with people and everything like that. And we just got to live this life and make the best out of this life and just, you know, love life, love people, man, and just stay blessed.
Yeah, that's big facts. Anybody listening in, make sure you add body to your workout playlist. I promise you're going to lose a few extra pounds because you're going to go hard listening to that record. I promise you. Definitely. Listen, bro, it is such a pleasure always. Every time we come together and we have this conversation, it's always like a breath of fresh air to have you on the line. I know I always keep you longer than anticipated, but it's like when we come back together, it's almost like old friends catching up, right?
I know, right? Yeah, we're kicking it.
We're kicking it, for sure. Oh, man, well, listen, we're about to get into this record. Go ahead and introduce it for us.
It's your boy Ryan Kings, RDIS California Dreaming, man. Y'all rocking with Body, featuring My Dude, produced by Bubba Made It. You heard it first, baby. Shout out to your girl, Tampa Mystic. Let's go.
Let's go.
Come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to The Hype 87.3. I want that time back.
My dog, yeah, yeah. Yeah, look, yeah.
Bubba Made It.
I got the feeling. Thank God I got the melody. You feel me? See now my pants are go for you. Wanna talk a picture? Go can follow. Steam when you kichwa. Pass your golo. La la la, ush. Mr. Apollo, ukileta uzush, na ku unfollow. Baby, ana shake no body. Mina litaka lo body. Baby, ana shake no body.
Yeah, I'm dressing all black, so I'm about to hit the dance floor. I'm up in the club, she asked me what I dance for, or what it hit for. You know I bet on black, it's like Vegas got my game intact. Ride with me, I know you heard about my past. I'm international, I change up your forecast. Cause we can travel around the world and back. Always hustle on my own, never roam in packs. You know how I do, the hunt is always greater than the kill. But you're next to me, so your body is what I feel. But I'm still here, with the same plan and the same mission. And I ain't going nowhere, because this vibe is different. You ride in with me, we ride side by side like twin vets. So come through if you feel that, but I know you feel that. So why don't you take my number, we can run it right back.
Wanna take a picture, go can follow. Steam kwenye kichwa, pasi ya ugolo. La la la, ush, Mr. Apollo. Ukileta uzush, na ku unfollow. Baby, ana shake ilo body. Mina alitaka lo body. Shake your body, me not let go of you.
Once again, that is Rhyme Schemes, man. Thank you so much again for taking this. I took a whole hour and some change of your time. I appreciate you, bro.
No problem, man. It's all love. I had so much fun and, I appreciate everybody tuning in. I appreciate you rocking with me. For sure.
Absolutely. One of these days, we're going to get it done in person. I promise you that. We're going to manifest that.
I know, right? I got to make it happen.
Facts.
We got to make it happen.
We got to make that happen. Well, listen, bro, you enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll be talking to you soon, okay?
All right. Peace.
All right. Later. All right, you guys, we up out of here. Make sure you guys follow him on all social platforms. Once again, it's Rhyme Scheme, so check him out. It's your girl, Tampa Mystic. We out of here.